Hey 3CR, good morning on the morning of Saturday the 3rd of May. My name's Bridget and I'm speaking to you from the occupied West Bank in Palestine, where I'm here with an activist organization run by local Palestinian coordinators that coordinate international activists coming and standing with Palestinian farmers and shepherds and families in general trying to stay on their land, usually in what's known as Area C of the West Bank, which is over 60% of the West Bank and was essentially given over to full Israeli control in the Oslo Accords in 1994. When you look at a map of the West Bank, it can be a little bit misleading to look at all that territory that ostensibly is for Palestinian use, but it's under full Israeli civilian and military control. But the reality is that there's still hundreds of thousands of Palestinians living in these regional and rural parts of the West Bank. But yeah, life is tough. And there's a lot of people practicing Samud, the Arabic concept of steadfastness, staying on the land. And it has proven useful for several decades now of having both international activists and Israeli anti-Zionist activists accompanying these families when shepherding or doing agricultural work or even just staying in their homes at night, because they are often really susceptible to attacks from Israeli settlers and the military and police as well. I was here in the West Bank with the same organization, the International Solidarity Movement, 15 years ago. So it's been a long time between drinks, and it's been pretty freaky getting back here and just seeing the extent of the settlement expansion. I actually can't believe how many more Jewish Israelis there are living in the West Bank now compared to when I was here last time. The situation was already, super freaky, and now it's quite scary seeing the extent of it and how hard it would be to come back from what Israeli President Netanyahu has termed establishing facts on the ground, the facts on the ground of the settlements. And yeah, the reality is that some of these settlers are ideological and very violent in how they see taking the land that is apparently theirs as legitimate. So for the first 2 weeks of my time here, this time I've been in the Jordan Valley, which is right in the east of the West Bank, and it is the valley that kind of rises around the Jordan River. So yeah, the western half of the valley, or the West Bank of the Jordan River, is Palestine, and the eastern bank of it is Jordan. Israel is doing a really effective job of stealing the water from both sides. But yes, the area is a really important agricultural area for Palestine, given the water source. But it's proved really difficult for the farmers to keep doing this, partly because a lot of the water is being tapped by Israel and then sold back to them at over twice the price that Israeli settlers in the Jordan Valley can pay for the water from the state water company Mekarot. On top of that, a lot of irrigation and other infrastructure belonging to Palestinian farmers is often attacked by settlers, just in random attacks, constantly cutting the pipes of the irrigation and stuff like this. Netafim, the Israeli irrigation company, also has kind of a monopoly on that market. So sometimes Palestinian farmers are forced to buy Israeli Netafim irrigation products to pump the water that they're being sold back at a very inflated rate by Israel to their own fields, only to have them cut by Israeli settlers. Which is exactly what happened last week on the 23rd of April at around 10 p.m. in the village of Bar Adela in the very north of the Jordan Valley. A group of settlers came down in the evening around 10 p.m. and were once again cutting pipelines. It was maybe about the third attack that week just in that village. and several local farmers mobilized to defend their property and were able to initially repel the attackers, but were then ambushed by another group of armed settlers lying in wait. There's an outpost, which is kind of like an extension, a rogue extension of like the main settlement. There's one that's been built very close to Baradilla village. Only a couple of months ago, first was set up, I believe, in February of this year. And that has been the place where a lot of these attacks are being launched from. So in this case, the situation really quickly escalated with settlers firing guns, first in the air, then at people that were mobilizing around this. I was in the village at the time, just a couple hundred meters away. So even though it was dark, you could see a lot of this playing out, like torches running all over and people yelling. A lot of people in the village running down towards the gunfire to try and see if they can help or intervene somehow. And yeah, it went on for quite a long time. Just hearing different kinds of gunfire, like first we were trying to count the gunshots and then we lost count, and then there were kind of like sprays of gunfire as well. This resulted in 7 Palestinian residents of Baradilla being injured by gunshots, 2 of them in a critical condition. When a Red Crescent ambulance arrived on the scene to take people to a hospital, they were actually prevented from getting through the village by the Israeli military that had now arrived on the scene and were closing off the village. And then at this point, settlers took advantage of that situation to then set fire to a home and like farm buildings of one of our neighbors, actually, in Baradilla, Ahmad Ibrahim Jahalan Ala Jahalan. So it was a family home housing 10 people, and a whole bunch of their animal pens and kind of like farming structures just went up in smoke. It was a huge apocalyptic fire. And at this point, no one could leave their houses to go down to help put the fire out because the army was enforcing a curfew in the village. Our house is just up on a hill, like just up the street from this, so we could see everything, and it was horrific to watch. And like there was, yeah, a whole bunch of soldiers right outside our house. We didn't know what to do. Our own house, like the activist house, was raided a month ago. And yeah, everyone in the village has been copying it. And so at this point you could see Israeli military, like the IDF, witnessing the fire happening. Israeli police rolled through as well and also didn't do anything about the fire. And also so-called settler security, which is kind of like the militia for the militia that is the violent settlers in the West Bank. They have their own security forces that you can see rolling around a lot in white pickup trucks. And meanwhile, the fire truck was held up on the other side of the village by the army, prevented from getting through. At this point, the fire had spread to the animal pens, and we were able to hear the animals trapped inside the burning pens, which, yeah, I don't have to tell you how awful that was. This was after like several hours, I think, of like gunshots and like having to hide from like whizzing bullets and stuff. Yeah, eventually the fire truck was able to get through. It could start putting out the flames. Eventually the army moved out of the street, and we, along with a whole bunch of people, other people who live in the village, were able to go down and herd the surviving animals out of the pens and move them up to a neighbour's pens. So in total, the family lost 20 or 30 goats and sheep. But yeah, I'm glad to say that at least twice of that survived. Yeah, but the house was destroyed. Most of their pens were destroyed. The house had only been built last year. And even the very next day in the morning when a whole bunch of us were down at the house, like starting to clear the wreckage and just, you know, surveying the situation and talking to the family, settlers came back. Like, they didn't come all the way down, but they drove down from the outpost and just parked up about 50 metres away with a bit of a face-off. And it just really hasn't relented ever since. The organisation that I'm with, ISM, is now staying with that family in the buildings that are being rebuilt as this kind of presence that has, as I said, has proved useful for many families of having not just locals but also like foreigners and like other people, like a wide variety of people witnessing the situation who can document, intervene, advocate, and in the case of, you know, legal proceedings when they do happen, can testify. Because quite often when Palestinians are attacked by settlers, they are the ones who end up getting arrested by the Israeli police or military. So that's my dispatch from Bardzilla. Thank you very much for listening. If you would like more information about any of this, you can check out the International Solidarity Movement website. Bye for now.